up ulcers. That's what it means by better. Do you get my point? So when people give money to something, they are injecting a spirit. It is not a, it's not just a matter of giving money. You understand? If you have a ministry and the people supplying you resources are drug barons and armed robbers, you yourself will die suddenly and God will not be able to do anything about it. People think it's just cash. Money in itself, Jesus said, it is called mammon of unrighteousness. What it means is that there is no character attached to that piece of paper or that coin. That it only carries the thing that a man who is issuing it forth carries. That is why when a rich man wants to seduce a young girl, what does he do? He gives her money. He's passing across to her the spirit of seduction. Oh God, I know what I'm saying. Don't let me digress too much. You see, what I'm explaining all of this is that when a man drops money or gives things or something, it's not just the act. There is a spirit behind what he's doing. When the Spaniards legislated, they put it on paper that in our nation, it is good to be a dog, like God said, using scriptural words. We are saying there is nothing wrong with abominations. It is like somebody saying, look, in this house, when we want to eat, we serve you botulinum toxin in the morning to eat. At night, we give you cyanide. And as far as we are concerned, there is freedom of expression of our desires. God said, no trouble. I will come back in a year's time and all of you will be dead. Spiritual things control the physical. What these men have done is to sign away their prosperity. You are not getting what I'm trying to say. That is, they have said, in our nation, we shall not prosper. That's what they have said. That we have signed it into law. That let evil come upon us. That we have said, let the blood be upon us and upon our children. That's what they have said. That is, once people put it down, that with us, this is okay. Then God said, fine, I shall bring judgment that is okay in accordance with the abomination that you have permitted. Are you following the point I'm making? I've said all of this to let you understand one point. Satan is enjoying it. That is his agenda. That is his agenda. And I said something last time that, listen, all we like sheep, most men are like sheep. They don't know what is going on. They don't care what is going on. They don't know. They have no idea. It's what the people who are in league with Satan say, or those who are the servants of God say. That's what they follow. That is, there is battle for the child of God. He has to face the enemy square. Do you get the point I'm making? You know, I was saying something about the occult. What Satan does is to institute occultism. And listen, all those people that shout that we don't believe in God, they are lying. They are lying. Listen, the only people who say it, who might be telling the truth, are the sheep that are following them. The main man that first uttered the statement, he has made a covenant with Satan. Let me tell you something about the principle of ambassadorship. I hope my English is correct there. An ambassador has no opinion of his own. I hope you understand that. If the American ambassador to Nigeria is against the Iraqi war, let's assume he's against it, and then the president of Nigeria says, why are you invading Iraq? He will tell you, the position of my government is that there are weapons of mass destruction, and he will say it as if he believes it. If he ever utters anything different from that, he's back home. They recall him faster than they can call his name a second time. Why? Because he's an ambassador. If he's at home, he can say all the rubbish he wants. There's no trouble. As long as you are not an ambassador. Get my point? When the Bible says that you are an ambassador for Christ also, he said you don't go around telling people what you think. Your opinion of this matter. What is the position of your government? That is all. That is all. Now, I'm coming to a point. The men who serve Satan also say things they don't believe. There is no God. It's a lie. They know there is God. But Satan said, Shane, now you earn $25 million a month. I will take my money. He said, okay, how can I become poor? What do you want me to say? Say, go and tell them that homosexuality is in their genes. the guy will come out to her and say, hey, it's in your genes. You know, it's just the way you, it's not your fault now. He doesn't believe it. But after some time, there is what the Bible calls the searing of the conscience. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? His conscience will become seared. But there's something about life. What he has sown is what seeds. They begin to germinate everywhere they go. They start sprouting and bringing forth everywhere they go. You know, let me just say this again. Most of the people tell you that they don't believe in God. They are lying. You understand my point? They are just telling lies. You know, Tyshawn Larry in those days used to say he didn't believe in God. And I used to tell people that the man is lying. I said, he's obviously lying. I said, this man is telling lies. I would not be surprised if the guy was in Ogboni. I don't know, but I would not be surprised. It's obvious. You know, all you need to do is just wash your eyes with water and look. This man is lying. In fact, what even proved to me that he was lying was that he said he made a prayer to God for God to do something for him, and God didn't do it. That means God did not exist. I said, you are an idiot. Do you always give your children the things that they want? So, because when I wanted to leave the house now, my son started, he went to gather his clothes. You know, he wanted to wear the clothes. Then we said, you realize I was going out. I dressed to come out, to come here. And I said, no. I insisted I should go back into the house. Does that mean I don't exist? So because Akinlu didn't come out with me today to come and preach, it means that daddy no longer exists. You understand my point? So when an adult tells you that kind of thing, you should know he doesn't believe what he's saying. He's lying. One of my colleagues those days told me, he said that there's no God. You know, he was talking. I just looked at him. I said, oh boy, you believe in God. Stop fooling me. He said, no. He said, look, the problem with us is that we believe that if something is good, it is God. If it is bad, it is devil. And they were laughing, he and his friend. I looked at him. I said, stop deceiving yourself. You believe in God. I told him. I said, but your problem is that you like to give a date to a girl at 8, another one at 12, one at 4, and one at 4 for the night. And the day you open your mouth and say, because that's what he used to do, the day you open your mouth and say that you believe in God, you have to stop. I said, you see, you love the deeds of darkness, so you are rejecting the light. Don't tell me you don't believe in God. You know, later one day we were gisting. He told me one day he dreamt that his cousin died. And he woke up in the morning, and a friend of his came and said, please, follow me down to somewhere. I want to pick up something. And that place happened to be a white garment church. He said, as soon as he stepped into the church, the prophet, the white garment prophet, looked at him from the back of the hall and said, you, if you don't fast for the next 3 days, somebody's going to die in your house. This was a dream he just had, and he had not told anybody. You know what he told me? They used to call me Blackie. He said, Blackie, I'm not going to lie to you. I fast, though. I told him, I said, oh, boy, I told you were lying, that you believe in God. Do you get my point? That these men enter into the occult, listen, to cause the plan of the devil to prosper, and the devil pays them with money and power in return. And they confuse goats and sheep and say that this is the truth. And all day, like sheep, they go astray following them. That there are men that God has commanded that the church must attack in battle. I was explaining, therefore, that you see, what Satan does is to establish people to become very powerful. Do you understand me? There was something the Red Prince said. I was into one of his messages. I can't even remember which one exactly now. He said that when he observed, I want to use this as an example. When he observed the power of the mafia, he realized that the only way they can be that powerful is that there must be a principality in charge. Now, when he said it, I agree totally because the man was telling the truth. He said the only reason the mafia could be that, they are not as powerful as they used to be. You understand my point? But the only reason why they could be that powerful was that they were being supervised by principality. Now, listen. The Bible said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things that are seen are not made out of things that are visible. You might think, visibly speaking now, that it's because they kill people. They kill their witnesses. That people want to witness against them and all that. Those are the human excuses we give for their power. But the truth is that the only reason why they are sustained like that is because there is a principality working hard on their side to ensure they remain in power. And listen, they trade, most importantly, in illegal things. Prostitution, drugs, gambling. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, the men think that they are making money. Satan says, my plan is prospering. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Go and check it. What they thrive upon are the most important businesses they do are drugs, prostitution, and gambling. So forget all the one about somebody's making money. As far as Satan is concerned, he will give you all the money you want as long as you please help prostitution to prosper so that the man will leave home, go to business, and then you will sneak a prostitute through the back door to him. Now, to you, you think you are making money. Satan says, thank you very much. You are corrupting him and his children for me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look, the guy is very crafty. A lot of people that serve him don't even understand the importance of their part in the service of Satan. That is why, I said earlier, that the only weapon God has against the plans of the devil is what? His people. He doesn't have any other one. There are many things they will do. One of them, they will pray. You see, there's something I want to bring out. Because, in fact, I'm saying so many things that I wonder where I'm going to stop in all these things that I'm saying. All right. But there's something I wanted to bring out. Maybe let me see whether I can quickly do that. There was something that God said, because, you see, one of the things, let me just say this again. One of the things about life is that, I keep on telling you about the agenda of Satan. Have you noticed, and this is a fact, that anytime bad things happen, they broadcast it very well. CNN helps you. Local news helps you. Sun, Nigeria's first tabloid, they call themselves. All right? The front page must be bad news. Go and observe it. Go and observe it. Police shoots 4 innocent people. They will print it in, for those of you who understand the typing, the point size, the font size will be something like 95. Bold. Every other good thing is written in point size 10, somewhere in the center page. They tell you how dangerous the roads are, tell you how bad NEPA is, tell you everything that is going wrong, as if the only thing going on are the wrong things. Believe me, it's a strategy of Satan. An average young person is more afraid of a witch than he is of God. He will gladly offend God, but not offend a witch. It is stories they tell him. I used to say, my children will never watch Tales by Moonlight on NTA. God forbid. Watch it once, you will agree with me. Story about the gods, about spirits, all kinds of rubbish. I don't care the morals they claim they are teaching. You are teaching the children the fear of spirits they should not fear. Are you following me, the point I'm making here? No, you see it. An average person grows up, he's afraid to challenge an Ogboni man. May God bless Archbishop Benson Idahosa and everybody that carries his spirit. The only Nigerian I know that will stand boldly and say, if you are an Ogboni man, cross here. Cross here now. They bring up children to fear native doctors. Because of story. And listen, it's just the stories you tell them. People keep on telling you, look, you know what those stories do? The Bible said the heart of men fail them when they observe the things that are happening. They take away your faith. That is all. So when a child of God rises up one day, he's about to do business, and an Ogboni man tells him to step down, instinctively he's afraid. He has to start confessing. which according to Kenyon is a sign of his fear, not of his faith. Because if you were going on the road, and one little child said, a guy, nigga, better for you. You know, you just say, don't mind him, small child without training. Is that not what you will say? You keep going. Because you believe that there is nothing attached to the words that he has spoken. But one of the body man says, I will show you. You feel he has the power to show you. So you start praying. Absolutely a sign of unbelief. It is not at all a sign of faith. But God is merciful. He said, at least you are running down to a strong tower. It's good. I told you that once I heard Derek Prince say, he was casting out demons from a young woman who had a familiar spirit. You know, most of these white garment people, that's what they operate with. Like the man who I said saw somebody and somebody will die. These are familiar spirits. That's what they call familiar spirits. So this person had a familiar spirit. Derek Prince was casting out demons from the girl. And the young lady said, oh, I see you in a car, a red car wrapped around a tree. That is a man died in a car accident inside a red car. Derek Prince said, just told her simply, that is the devil's plan. I don't walk in it. That is, it's not a matter of prayer. You know, why should I pray about it? You understand my point? If you say that at XYZ restaurant, they are serving pepper soup laced with poison. What's my problem? I don't go there to eat. I have never eaten there. I won't pray against their poison. Why? Because I'm not planning to eat it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what God... Listen... Let me read my scripture. What did I say we should read? I think I said Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16. God said, I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. He said, now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them. He said, now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What I want to bring out from here is this. That is God's command to every man he sends to battle. That is, you must never turn back in the face of the enemy. Let nobody tell you. Now, we are talking about occultic things. Let nobody tell you that the occult men are controlling this area. Because you see, the fact is that that's what happens most places in the world. Yet, the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. There's another occultic power I want to just mention briefly. Oftentimes, you know, Christians love to glorify what wicked people are doing. Now, the people may not have gathered into a cult, but before God is all the same thing. Once people gather against God, it is the same thing. Do you follow my point? Whether they sacrifice a lamb or a cockroach or a human being, this is the same thing. Once they gather, he said, why do the people rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. He said, they have taken counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. And that's what God cares about. He said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision. Listen to me. What God cares about is the fact that they have gathered against him. Are you getting my point? And before him is the same thing. Get me. Whether they are meeting at night or meeting at noon in a boardroom, it is the same thing. I said, the kingdoms of this earth, of this world, shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, I was going to an area. Take business, for example. People always tell stories. You know, Christians, they are dismayed when they look at the world. They will tell you, for example, let me give an example. You can't fight Microsoft. Who said? Who said? The commandment of God is, listen, if you are walking in righteousness, there is nobody. Say, I've made you a fortified city. There's nobody you can't fight against. After all, the word of God is that upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. That is, gates try to block you from moving. Another example I want to give, which actually my mind is going. Take films, for example, because yesterday I had a discussion with some people about it. They say, in Nigeria, before you can do a proper video that we sell, you have to network with the people at Upper Iweka, 51 Iweka Road. I said, it's not necessary. That is the fear of man. Do you get what I'm saying? It is the fear of man, because you see, sometimes people observe the Goliaths. No, the Bible says all the things that are in the scriptures were recorded for our learning. I'm explaining all of this to bring out something to all of you. That is, in life, God has ordained that you must reign somewhere. Do you follow my point? And the place is not vacant. Do you follow the point? The place is not vacant. And the man occupying it now is a Goliath while you're a David. In size, he has dwarfed you. But the commandment of God is, neither fear ye their fear. Let the Lord alone be your dread. That is, it is better you offend that man and he threatens to kill you than to offend God. So if running away from him, we offend God, just stay there. Do you understand my point? That is, there is nothing anybody has built that is so great, so sound, so fortified against your onslaught that you will not prosper in it. Listen, you are destined to reign somewhere and the place is not vacant. That's what I want to understand. If God has commanded you to be the proper Steven Spielberg of this earth, you know, remember Steven Spielberg, the top producer of movies on the earth, because it's one of the problems with Christians is that God will allow something to be created, then they will leave it for the devil to inhabit, giving it names. That is, when television came out, Christians banned their children from watching it. They banned themselves from getting involved with television production or from acting in movies or anything. Meanwhile, there is nothing that spreads good or bad news as fast as the television. There is nothing right now on earth. There is nothing on earth today that human beings give as much attention to as TV. I hope you know that. Nothing. And you can't pray to change it. It is there. God ordained it, created it to be so. You had better learn how to take it over. That's what we are saying. And let nobody scare you. When you are ripe, when you are ready, in fact, after this series of teachings, I want to go on to what I call, because I don't want to continue on this topic alone, but it's still the same thing. Because we started by talking about activating the blessings of God, maintaining the blessings of God, doing the work of God. We're not talking about destined to reign. As part of destined to reign, we'll go into another series, which I call training to reign. Do you follow my point? That is, you have to be trained to occupy the position. And listen, that is all God cares about. Once you are trained, he will plant you by himself. He said, nobody lights a light. Okay, and put it under a bushel. You know what it means of nobody? That is, men do not. If men know how to do that, how much more God? That is, God cannot finish training you and keep you under a bushel, won't give you a job. That is, what God needs is a man who is prepared for the master's use. Paul explained to Timothy, if any man purges himself of these things, he will become a vessel of honor, made ready for the master's use. Once you are ready, the master will use you. Therefore, what we want to start teaching about is probably more important, or let me say as important as what we have been discussing. Once somebody is trained by God, listen, his kingdom, the Bible says, rule over all. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The reason why God's people are not in strategic positions is because they are not ready. Their mind is not even there. Don't watch television. It is of the devil. Who told you? Poverty mentality, ignorance. People will tell you that internet is the Antichrist's weapon. Do you believe that? Somebody sent me something about a chip developed by Motorola that will be the instrument of Antichrist. I say, you see, that's your problem. You confess so much that the Antichrist will actually use your words against you. We kept on prophesying Satan's box. And the more you said the TV was the devil's box, the more it inhabited it. Put on Channel O, you will see the greatest number of naked women you've ever seen in your life. And Channel O, MTV Base are the stations that people like CTL blast 24 hours. They will switch TBN for one small, change it to one. They will be alternating the Christian channel. CNN, 24 hours. MTV Base, 24 hours. And Christian will say, you see, I told you, it's the devil's box. Devil will say, thank you very much. It's my box. Leave it alone. What are you even doing on my box? Why are you broadcasting on my box? It is the devil's box. We kept on prophesying when God said, listen, I want one of you to go over and collect all these boxes. They are mine. They are mine. The devil never invented anything. Why are you dashing him my inventions? Everything, it is, you know, people fear Antichrist. Look, I was brought up as a Christian, actually, to fear the Antichrist more than I feared God. That is, the only reason I wanted to serve God was to get away from the Antichrist. That is, God was my defense against the man I feared. Hey, he wasn't supposed to be like that. When God's, listen, you know, there are things people argue about. Pre-millennial tribulation, post this. I said, all those things. You don't understand the power of God. You'll have understood that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for thy feet. Are you getting my point? Listen, devil has an agenda. He's pursuing it aggressively. God has an agenda, and I have a commission to remind you that God's agenda will not prosper if you don't cooperate. Do you get my point? The greatest thing that drives away people from the agenda of God is the fear of poverty and the love of money. I don't know which one is greater. The fear of poverty and what? The love of money. I mean, God wants to bring up a young man to become, take this, our devil's box, a tragedy. God said, redeem my boxes. Except that when you are going to start, we can only give you 15,000 naira a month with all the satisfaction and joy humanly possible. You will have food. I will give you only 2 pairs of shoes, but you just manage those two. Then the devil will come and say, see your mate, they are working in V-Mobile. V-Mobile starts them on 250,000 naira a month. See your mate, they have gone to Schlobenger. What's the name of Halliburton has collected 2 of your mates. They tell you all the stories and make you look like a failure. Why? Because of money. You know what I worry about? If then my mate has done this, I say, how many lives has he blessed? Look, if he has not blessed as many people have blessed, he's the one that's failing. I'm the one I'm succeeding. Who will be in trouble and quote what he said? If you understand my point, let's see who is succeeding and who is failing. Oh, so he has this amount of investment. He has this number of houses. That is the problem. But when I go to sleep at night, I know the word I spoke is carrying somebody till tomorrow morning. I mean, I'm succeeding. Are you following my point? There is a reason for which I was born. Part of it is not the kind of car we drive. Those are the things that are added. I pursue after the reason I was born. And all other things are added to me. Do you follow my point? That is, if you are following that, then the purpose of God can prosper in your hand. The purpose of God will prosper. Listen very clearly. One man said once, he said, do you know that God is so great and I cannot do without him? And he said, do you realize also that he cannot do without me? And that was a great man of God who had understood God so much that if I don't move, I'm crippling the movement of God. And that's what I'm saying you should hear again. God needs you. For everything the devil holds is because you have not taken it out of his hands. You see, one of the problems with the prosperity message that a lot of people preached was that they thought it was how to get more. We keep on forgetting, we twist the scripture to say the exact opposite of what it's supposed to say. They say it is more blessed to give than to receive, all right? Now, we now say, you see, if you want to receive, you give because it's more blessed to give so he can receive. But the man is still thinking about what? Receiving. That is, even the giving is for what? So as he can receive. His end, that is, his satisfaction is the end. His body is the summary. Indeed, his God is his belly. That is, when he gives an offering in his church, he's serving his God, his belly. Because they told him that your God will be full and satisfied if you give this offering. So he gives the offering actually towards his belly. He's not recognizing that for this cause was he born. For this cause did she come to this earth to impact this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when he gives an offering indeed, the Bible said that God will multiply the seed sown. In fact, you know the proper way he said it? He said he will multiply your seed for sowing, not the seed sown. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. Righteousness means walking according to the will of God. He empowers you to be able to do more things that are in keeping with God's will for your life. That is why, in that book, The Power to Get, that I told you about, I wrote it there, that for a Christian, look, you never really get anything. God gives you so you can use. And as you use, he multiplies more so you can use some more. So you are constantly serving God to the day of your death. That is a proper gospel of prosperity. That is, the Satan has an agenda and he has gathered his people into groups. Because when they come together, they become so strong and they start scaring the people of God. They become Goliaths. They say, you don't know in Nigeria, cement is controlled by this man. Oh. So if you want to go near cement business, just forget it. One principality is on it already. But God said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look, until we get that into our minds, we're not going anywhere. Stronger than the occult. That's what I want to understand. And I'm not talking about only those who gather together to sacrifice animals and meat at night. I'm saying those who have even gathered in business, in companies, in even in the politics. You know, they will tell you that if you're not in the PDP, you can't get anything in Nigeria. It is because God has not yet found you ready. The man that God has appointed to the president, PDP will put everything they like together and he will get there. Don't think Chris Okotie did not win the election because he was not in PDP. That's not it. If God really called you to be president, we will still see it. I'm not saying he was not called to be president. But you don't have to join PDP. If you are joining PDP to achieve anything, you have missed God entirely. If you are trusting in men to be able to do something for God, you are not working for God. Let me tell you how you will know that God really sent you. Fight against PDP. Do you understand my point? Rise up against them. Now, I have nothing against PDP. I'm just using that as an illustration of the fact that they are the dominant political force in Nigeria right now. But the man, the woman that God is raising can rise up against. God forbid the person from even being afraid of them. I mean, for goodness sake, if you join PDP, they put you there and you win. We don't know whether you are righteous or like everybody else. But go and join Conscience Party. You know, one of those parties that only exists in one street in Lagos. And with it, win a senatorial position. Then we know God sent you. Conscience, is that not Ganifa or his party? I think that's Ganifa. What's Brother Chris's own? Justice Party. No, those parties that only exist amongst the people that are in there. You understand my point? When you join them and you win a senatorial post, then we know that you are sent of God. Hey, you join PDP. Maybe you too, you join some Magomago and they moved you on. We don't know whether you are serving God or serving man. Do you get my point? Now, really, if I'm honest with you, I will tell you that I really don't know exactly where I started and where I'm going to stop now, all right? Because I'm going to stop right now. And then from next time, I will begin to talk about what I call a training to reign. Yes, we've talked about destined to reign. Now we'll talk very, very importantly on what? Training to reign. Remember, I said I was going to say something about financial management for Christians. That's one of the things we'll talk about because it's very, very important. Because I realized that if you watch the parables of Jesus, he lays so much emphasis on the ability to handle money. If you cannot handle the mammon of a righteousness or the money that belongs to somebody else, say, how will God give you your own? You understand my point? Which shows that it is the ability to manage that God is talking about. There are many, many things that people take for granted. You know, we'll explain some of those things and get it very clear so that we can get, you know, get into proper repentance in that area, because nobody knows everything entirely. You know, if I, as a pastor, I know the way God taught me many things, and I really thank God for the life of people like Bishop David Oyedepo. Because some of the things that God taught him when he preached about them, it healed some of the fears and some of the problems that were inside my heart concerning money. You understand me? All right, because you see, it's not that you just wake up one morning and just have no fear of poverty. Do you understand me? No, it doesn't work like that. It's training. You know, it's the infusion of the word that kills your fear of poverty. You understand? Because fear itself is a spiritual substance. It has to be ejected by a stronger substance, which is the word of God. You follow me? And that's why I feel sorry for Christians who are not giving attention to the word. The problems of your life can never be ejected. It's not possible. There's no other thing that can drive away the problems in your life apart from God's word. You know? Well, this is just in passing. That's why I feel sad for Christians who are engaged too much in activity. You know, they fill your life so much with activity that you are not infused with God's word. Because activities don't ever eject anything from your life. In the words of Bishop David Abioye, he says it's actually a killer of sensitivity. You don't even know when God is speaking. You understand what I'm saying? So you see, it's important we get the word of God to correct our lives into the place where God wants us to be. That is what is called the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Because sin is deadly. Sin is what will give the occult power over you. The power of sin is to weaken your ability to fight. Do you get my point? That's it. You see, Satan has ensured that a lot of men who prosper can't prosper much. Because once he prospers, you know, like Solomon said, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men, many concubines. Only rich men gather many concubines. But the problem with many concubines is that that is why Solomon didn't go far. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, Satan said, good, you have gone this far, but you won't go further than this. So he gives you plenty of money to her, and then he sends many concubines into the camp. So sin incapacitates a man from moving further. That's what sin does. And only the word of God, believe me, can make a man walk in the spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Do you understand that? All right, praise the Lord. I think we should end here. Then I want to make a few announcements, then we'll close. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word that you have sent to your people today. Lord, I ask that word, Lord, we ignite a strong fire in the heart of everybody that has heard it today. And you will cause them, Lord, to increase greatly and overcome in every sphere of life that they are involved in the name of Jesus Christ.